Just one bear. Just one. Just one bear.
Hello and welcome to this episode. Present today is me, Henrik, from Nifrost, Invisus from Blodhemd.
Hi.
And Hauk from Blodhemd.
Hello.
This is the first episode where we don't talk about our bands, but talk about things in general. And we'll just start out by tasting a beer. Skål.
Oh, fuck you, man.
Did you shake it before you opened it, Invisus?
No, this has been staying in my refrigerator for some days. So probably, maybe my girlfriend is doing this as a prank or something. Because she knew that we were going to talk about these beers on... Yeah.
That's a good
but
prank.
But now half of my beer is on the floor. And I guess I'm ready.
So the
it looks like beer.
It looks like beer, and it smells really good.
It's all over my steel lungs.
So the first beer we're tasting this evening is Nøgne Ø Session IPA Triple Hopped Ale. I don't know if this is available anywhere else than in Norway, but maybe it is.
I have no idea.
I know that
I have seen them elsewhere.
I would guess it would be a fucking hassle, you know, with the letter Ø in the name, which is just in the Norwegian alphabet, not in the English.
Yeah, but I know that Nøgne Ø is one of the microbreweries that actually have.
They could still have it in Denmark and Sweden.
Yeah, I think they have it somewhere around the world, but I don't know where.
We found it in Poland, I think. So,
okay, I just have to get a towel before it sinks into my pedals and stuff. Here.
Yep. Don't forget to bring a towel.
Just keep it up.
So this is a Session IPA, 4.5 ABV.
That's really the only stat we care about, isn't it?
Yeah. It smells...
Yeah.
Is it Citra or Mosaic?
Yeah. I don't have that good a nose, but it's very... It's quite hoppy, yes.
It's very hoppy. There's some hop that's familiar, at least.
But I had a very harsh green aura at this hoppy... That is, the hops, dry hops have been left in for too long or something.
Yeah.
Or it's too old.
Yeah, that might probably be the case as well.
Disappointing start to an episode. This beer was not that good.
I have to say, I haven't been too impressed with the Nøgne beers.
They are best at the dark ones. Those are really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Porter and the Imperial Stout was really good.
Wasn't it Nøgne Ø who had that kind of Japanese gimmick thing that was like 30% or something? Red Horizon, was that it?
Yeah, 15% or so, I think.
Wasn't it?
It was quite special.
Yeah, wasn't it a lot more?
They might have made several ones, but the one I've tasted was about 15.
Okay. I think I had one that was 20 or something, but I might be mistaken.
Yeah, possibly.
It came in like a metal box. It tasted like shit.
Now this was off. This is not how they are supposed to taste, I believe. So
it's very malty, I think. At least the smell. When I spilled it on my floor, it smelled a lot like malt.
Beer.
Yeah.
No. But I don't. It has an off flavor of bad ingredients or dry ups left in too long or something.
Maybe you should shake it before you open it.
Like you did.
Yeah. Just rewind a bit and we can do it again.
Just shake it the other way.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it was good. Shake it but in. It had this like off flavor.
Hmm.
Can you taste it as well as we bought it at the same store?
Yeah. It's a bit
harsh. Yeah. Harsh aftertaste.
I think it's more bitter than it's supposed to be.
Is it called aftertaste in English?
I don't know. Now it is.
Who's here to answer you?
Eric isn't here to support my English skills.
He's out getting the virus.
But yeah, a bit disappointing, but not the worst beer I've had.
Which is?
The Blohemmer.
Don't diss my beer.
I'm done.
No, just kidding. That was really good.
Well, I think we could enlighten the listeners about that both you and Håkon are, can you call it somewhat professional beer makers, beer in the beer industry, something.
Yeah.
Nah.
I mean, maybe not professional.
I have been paid for making beer. So.
Yeah. We're both homebrewers and we work in a homebrew supply store. So I guess we are a bit more nerdy than most of the other people.
Yeah.
Here.
And you had a problem with stop drinking on Sunday, so you made drinking your job. Isn't that right?
Yes. Unfortunately, drinking the beer isn't my job.
Oh.
Explaining why people didn't hit FG and why the airlock isn't bubbling, that's my job.
And don't you say to every customer, like, you should bring that in so I could taste it.
No.
No, we don't want to taste.
We have gotten too much bad beer. Sorry to say that. For that to be something we want to do.
Yeah, people just, nobody comes by with, like, this beer I made, it's really good. You have to try it. It's like, what is wrong with this beer? Can you taste it so I can? Yeah. You can tell me what is wrong with it.
They don't come in with the one that was brilliant. We drank it all. And they never come in. That tasted like it's always that tasted like shit. What's wrong with it? So,
unfortunately. Should we move on? Do you have?
Yeah.
Do you guys have any more anything else to say about this beer?
No, it's cold.
We can leave it there. Yeah.
We can.
Yes, we can.
Okay, so before this episode, all of us listened to an album. Didn't we? Did you guys do it? Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I've heard it many times. So
you're going to lead on this one?
Nope.
Okay, so the album we listened to is Testament, The Gathering. Testament has gone under my radar. I've known about them for a long time, and I've listened to one album before. It was the album Formation of Damnation. I think it was when it was released. That's my only.
And from what year is that?
2008 or something.
Wasn't this one from 2008?
99 or something.
That the one we listened to?
The one we listened to was from 99, yeah.
Okay. Because the I listened to it on Spotify, and I think it said 2008, 2009 or something. But those years are
2000
off.
2000 or 8.
Yeah, those
Did
are.
Did you say 2000 or 8?
8 or 9.
Yeah,
but those are often wrong.
The Spotify stuff. Yeah. Spotify year is very wrong. Yeah. It's from 99.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I checked it out online. I asked Hauk today when we were working who the drummer was on this album. I just barely listened to it before. And I know that Gene Hoglan is the drummer there now, which is, he's a,
Cause
he's
that,
a machine.
That was something I scribbled down to when listening through the album. Who's the drummer here? Because I know that there's been a lot of guys in and out of that band.
Yeah. So,
good drummers.
So on this...
A really famous one on this
one.
Hmm?
It's a really famous good one on this one.
It's Paul?
It's...
No.
Lombardo.
No, it's Gene? Huh?
It's Dave Lombardo.
Has he been in there too?
Yeah.
Yeah, for this album.
Okay.
So Gene was there for some years, and then Lombardo came in, I think. And then they put the whole project on ice for some years. And then they started again. And then Gene joined again pretty recent, I think.
But hasn't Paul Bostoff, or how you pronounce that name, hasn't he been drumming for them too?
I actually don't know.
They've had so many members.
Yeah, they've had a lot of lineup changes.
Yeah, but that's really weird, because Lombardo usually has a kind of static drum style, or very very hard hitting. I couldn't hear it was him.
No, me neither. But then when I knew it was him, I listened to it and I thought, okay, this is really, it's not, you know, some of the hits on the cymbals and stuff aren't 100% perfect, which I really, really like, because it's so, you know, natural, and it's what you can expect when you go and see them live, because it's so it's so real, you know, or
yeah live, or yeah.
What was the name you called that guy in Visus?
Paul Bostoff. He's also he's the drummer who took the drum chair after Lombardo in Slayer. And
I see here on Metal Archives that he has been in the band for a lot of years, actually.
Yeah.
92 to 93 and 2004 to 2005.
So they must have been like exchanging bands, you know, when he was out of Slayer, he was back in Testament, and hasn't been...
Actually, that's...
Should I just leave my sticks, because I'm going to be back in 2 years when when I get the money, what's it called? Krangel.
The money?
Money argument with the band. I have to switch band again, and we can do the same dance. But fun fact, though, I don't think I've heard it, but you know the Norwegian drummer Asgeir Mikkelsen plays on some of the Borknagar albums, and Ishan, I think.
Okay.
He was also played in the drums in Testament for a brief time.
Okay.
Mm.
I didn't know that. But what I saw, and when I searched the band, was that Nick Barker played drums for 1 year as well in Testament.
Oh.
So they've had a lot of really great drummers.
Oh.
And I mean, a lot of probably other good musicians. I can see here that some of the
You two only care about drums.
some of the members and past members have been playing with Rob Halford in his solo project, if I can call it that, the Halford Band. And a lot of great musicians have been in that band. And I mean, my relationship to trash is like, yeah, most of the people around the globe, probably Metallica and Slayer and a bit of Megadeth. Megadeth as well. Of these like great big bands that's really known to people. How are your relationship to thrash metal? I know that you, Simon, have listened a lot to Metallica.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Still a big fan.
Is it any other thrash bands you have listened to?
Yeah, a lot, but yeah, of course Slayer, but yeah. I don't. There's some I should mention, but I can't name them now. So maybe Hauk should take this one.
This album was
buy me some time.
For me, it's mostly Slayer.
Yeah. This was your suggestion as well.
Yeah, I really like this album. I think I heard one of the songs, the "Careful What You Wish For." I really liked that one, so I had to. Yeah, the rest of the album.
That song was kind of the less trashier ones, wasn't it? Was kind of it reminded me a bit of more of like the you know, the sound of Black Album kind of.
Yeah, it's a shuffle beat, so it's quite like groovy.
Yeah,
I really like that song. So
yeah,
yeah. This album also has some really kind of death metal. Death metal.
It does.
Yeah, because I made some notes. Like I tried to make a word or two for every song, and I guess it was one song just past the middle of the album that was almost sounded like some Behemoth-ish.
Yeah,
stuff.
I've written Legions of the Dead down as well. Yeah. Legions of the Dead. Yeah. That reminded me of Behemoth.
Yeah.
And there was also a couple of songs like, let's see here, Soon Shut Eyes, which reminded me of Lamb of God, actually. With the drumming in the verse and
Soon Shut Eyes.
Huh?
Is that the same album?
Soon Shut Eyes.
Yeah.
Is that the right album?
Yeah, it's one of the last songs.
Okay, sorry, Alec.
But the riffing and the drumming on the verse was really how, you know, Chris Adler and Lamb of God. It really reminded me of that band, especially that song. And I think there was some other. Like 3 Days in the Darkness was also a song that gave me that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And then there were some songs that were a bit more catchy. Like
The first two ones are quite catchy.
True Believer.
Yeah, that one as well.
Yeah. I thought of Megadeth on some of the songs as well. True Believer among one of them.
I thought it was more like you can hear the influences of more like classical heavy metal, like maybe the like Saxon-ish, you know, not directly, but you can hear that it has gained some inspiration from those old type of bands, where many of the songs earlier on the records are more trashy and more aggressive. Between the midst of the album, it's kind of slows down, goes more mid-paced, and picks up again towards the end of the record.
Yeah. And another cool thing about the track True Believer was that one of the transitions from one of the choruses, it almost sounded like they changed the tempo of the song or maybe have a metric modulation or something like that. That was unexpected.
Unexpected or expected?
Unexpected for me. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
that's not. I mean, I think that is maybe more used in like jazz and death metal than what it's in, you know, trash. Yeah.
Fits with this one, this album, then that's kind of half death, half trash.
Mm.
And not in a blend, but kind of one song is death and one song is trash.
Yeah, the songs really differ from each other. I mean, one song can be really catchy, like the True Believer, and then one song can be really death metal, and then another song can be really trashy again. So it's an album with you know, a lot of different
dynamics.
Like, it's a dynamic album, but it has a lot of different emotions, or what I don't know how to say it, or
angry and furious mostly.
Yeah, but like,
what do you think about the cover?
Oh, I'll find it so I can.
I mean, the album cover, it could be an almost a Meshuggah album cover. It's a bit like industrial, I don't know.
Yeah, it's digital.
It is.
I am not a big fan of the digital covers, but some are.
It's not my favorite album cover, to be honest.
I was kind of wondering what's going on. What do you try why is this when a kid finds this at the record shop? Why would he buy this? You know, you have to think like that when you choose an album cover.
A snake biting angels. That's
He's biting one of the angels, and then he's probing one of them, or
I would say stabbing, but probing is.
There's two different album covers there.
Is it?
Yes, because the one because I see it now.
It's a re-release. It's a re-release of it as well.
Yeah, the re-release has a new.
That's the one I opened first. The first one is a bit more.
The first one is worse. But that's not digital.
Okay. So this is the first one. What the hell is that?
So it's the... Yeah, that's a bit more fucked up.
That's...
I can't really...
This is really weird.
It just seems like they drew it on drugs.
Yeah. What the hell?
It's cool, but it's hard to get the meaning out of it.
Yeah, well, it's cool if... Because it gives you that... What the fuck? Is this... because you're sitting there like, is there something here that I don't understand but everybody else does? Is this like some deeper meaning or anything?
It's still a kind of a snake and two angels, though. It's still kind of the same concept as the other one, but it's a lot...
Yeah,
the other one's
a
lot cleaner.
I guess there's something that has meaning in this. Is that... You see the wings on the angel on the left side has
feathers.
What's it called, a healthy wing, and on the right side it's like bones and rotted down. Or
is it that God's children are hugging the snake, which is Satan?
Yeah, maybe. Or
is Satan infecting the God's children?
But if you see the penis looking thing over the angels there on the right side, is that a needle at the end?
Yeah, it looks like
yes.
It's
okay,
really,
then I think we're kind of figuring this out a bit, aren't we?
Yeah, but it's it looks like the other cover, like with the needle in the one side. And
I looked. Yeah,
it is the same. This is the same kind of thing.
Yeah,
but
it's a lot.
One is more steampunk than the other. The new one is more steampunk.
It's so messy, you know, with all the letters in. You know, it says Testament, the Gathering, and then behind that, it's a lot of. Mm. I mean, it says Testament almost behind Testament, and I don't know what it says behind the Gathering.
And it's a huge fucking G in the middle of the album cover.
Yeah.
It's a saggy G. Saggy G. That's my rap name.
I like the other album cover better, I think, because
of
the symmetry.
Yeah, I agree. It's more, it doesn't seem as messy.
Yeah, and the skull in the middle, and I don't know if the needle is like a symbol for anything, or if it's drug related, or I have no idea.
I would guess so.
Yeah,
because it's you know, on the newer version, it's penetrating the eye and coming out of the back of on top of the skull.
Yeah, it looks
so. I guess it's kind of takes your brain imagery, kind of.
Yeah, it looks like a failed
Lombardo. Me.
Yeah,
Lombardo
failed Lombardo.
Me. That's attempt. Yeah,
this is a failed Lombardo album.
Yeah,
lobotomy.
Yeah, it's a failed lobotomy attempt. The needle went right through the head and not just through the eye.
Guess if the guys in Testament ever hear this, they were going to be, oh fuck, don't analyze this. It's just a cover. It's just a cover.
We're never playing with you dumb guys from Norway ever again. Or ever.
We wanted something cool with aesthetics that make you like a horror movie or something.
Yeah, but what is
know anything about it
is that you, I mean, we don't understand it, and
yeah,
I don't know, probably no one understands it.
Yeah, because no one is ever smarter than us.
Now, but yeah, I also see that on the newer version of the cover, it's clearly a snake between them. It's not so clear on the
old one.
The first one.
That's true.
So
snakes again.
Yeah. So yeah. It's leave it there, maybe.
Yeah.
Some things shouldn't be
analyzed.
Analyzed. Yeah, so the beer works.
Yeah.
It works.
Mm. It's beer.
It functions as a beer.
But what are your connection or relationship with Testament? Except like this album and that we listen to it now.
Oh yeah, I know it's usually Testament is usually a bit forgotten often, and especially for us who do not listen that much to thrash metal. So and I really like it. So it's a really good album. That's why.
It is.
I can't remember when I first heard this. It was probably 10, 12 years ago.
Okay. Do you have any other Testament tracks or albums that you want to recommend to people?
I can't remember track names. It's mostly this album I've listened to.
Okay.
As well.
Yeah.
I think I have a fun fact.
Yeah.
I think that Fenris, the drummer and so on in Dark Throne, once said that the only album that's thrash metal all the way through in the world is the debut album of Testament. I think it's their debut, album called the Legacy or The Legacy. I think it's just called Legacy. So,
that looks like their debut from 1987.
Yes, a fucking ugly cover.
Yeah.
Since we've been talking, been harassing their covers.
Do they have any nice covers?
Let's cover that as well.
The formation of Damnation isn't that bad, but you still don't see what it is like on the first look.
No, but if I remember correctly, isn't it like the early animation?
The first one is cool.
But their album covers don't look really good.
Second one's all.
Yeah, but it's kind of right to the time of, you know.
Yeah, it's very late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
The
Souls of Black.
What's the one they released this year? Yeah, it's the same kind of theme.
Yeah. Titans of Creation.
Titans of Creation.
Yeah, it looks like, have they used the same artist, maybe?
Did they draw it themselves?
Maybe the same musicians.
maybe. No, that's not right, because
they don't have the same musicians, but they have the same artist for the cover.
I mean, the album The Titans of Creation is a really cool title, but I'm not really a fan of their artwork in general.
But I think the latest album got very good critics.
Okay. I should check that out.
I think I heard it too, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I really like Gene's drumming.
Yeah.
He's a genius.
It's genius. Ooh. Yeah. He's creative. And it's fun listening to
good
him.
Good drummer.
Yeah.
Wasn't he playing in Death Angel back in the 80s at least?
I don't know. I think he has played in everything.
I think so. And he is kind of the guy, you know, the middle part of one. Metallica kind of stole that from Death Angel.
Okay.
And so it was.
I can't find anything about Death Angel on.
Is it that Darkness Descends or something that album is called? It's like tombstones on the cover, greenish.
Dark Angel, is that the band?
No, Dark.
Dark Angel. All right. It's the band, right?
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah. Didn't you say Death Angel?
Yes, fuck, Death Angel. Yeah.
I can't find anything on, at least on his Metal Archives page, but I guess that's not...
On his wiki page, it's
quite... Yes, Death Angel, and it's Darkness Descends.
Yeah, because he played in Death also for a while. And with...
Am I messing this up?
Yeah, it's Dark Angel, it says on wiki.
And Darkness Descends.
Yeah, that's the right name, yeah.
Yeah, and that's... He played on that record, didn't he?
Yeah, it says on his page that he played on it.
Okay. Yeah, Gene Hoglan. Lyrics, even.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, so and there in that album, that was released, I think, like 86, 87 or something, before the Injustice album, at least. Oh, and they had, like, a passage in that album that was... The bass drums went like that, and
so that inspired Metallica.
I guess they never confirmed it, but it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah,
and he was like couldn't believe it when he saw them on the Grammys or whatever with the one video and huge PR stuff and. It was their stuff, basically. Okay. Or that thing is, yeah. To people, that seemed to be an important thing in the one song. That's kind of the thing that sticks with people.
Yeah, but, I've listened to that. I think that was one of the first songs I listened to from Metallica.
Hmm.
And that part really.
It was really, the one for you?
Yeah, it was the one for me. And and that part of the song really was something like when I was 13, it impressed me.
That don't impress me.
So, yeah.
But it's when you have been playing drums for a while, it's not... hard at all. But everyone you speak to who doesn't play drums think that it's like the heaviest thing you can play almost. Yeah. It seems like sometimes. Not.
It's just.
you're a musician. But yeah, it's kind of, I guess it's at the time, why did it have such an impact? Why did people think that? Because they don't know that we play as fast. You know, we play all the time when we have when we do the verses and everything, the bass drum goes in that tempo all the way.
Yeah.
But I guess people don't understand that. And when you kind of get it like chopping, drrr, drrr, it kind of people more understand how what's going on and what your legs actually are doing.
Yeah, but also I think a lot of people can't really focus on what each instrument are doing if they don't know the genre. So they just, okay, this is noise, and then they maybe listen to the vocals because that's what they are used to. And
so that's a really good point, because we as musicians, we kind of dissect it and, well, cool guitar riff, not so cool drumming, cool vocals, and
On that specific part of the song, everything goes in that rhythm. And that's why it's so clear to everyone that this is what they do. And I think that because it's no vocals there either, it's really in focus. So that might be why people actually think that, oh, this is hard, because, okay, they suddenly listen to the band and the drums and, everything.
Yeah.
Mm.
But this, I I can't say it for sure, but that's just one thing that might actually be the reason why people are obsessed with that part of the song.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, your arguments are good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, just one bear. Just one. Just one bear.